From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Yasmeen Ammer, in this week for Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where big construction jobs are supposed to hire certain percentages of people of color, women, and residents of the city. And that's based on a longstanding city policy. But a new investigation by GBH News shows that not one major project in Boston hit the benchmark for hiring women in the past 4 years. And just 1/3 met the standard for hiring people of color. GBH Radio's Chris Burrell has been looking into the struggle to diversify Boston's building trades, and he joins us now to talk about it. Chris, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, hi, Yasmeen. Thanks for having me on.
So please tell us more. How long has there been a policy in place in Boston requiring women, minorities, local workers to be included in construction sites? What's the intention here?
Yeah, this goes back decades. This ordinance has been on the books since the early 1980s, after what I understand was a huge amount of activism by Black residents who basically saw these construction sites around the city and saw very few faces of color working at them and, you know, really agitated and protested and called for more equity on these jobs, which is how this ordinance came about.
And I'm curious, since those policies have been in place, have the numbers even improved slightly?
Well, not much. We looked mostly at the last 4 years, and I've kind of sat in on some meetings by the Boston Employment Commission, which is probably not an agency people think of much, but they oversee this this ordinance. And the meetings are full of commissioners expressing their frustration with contractors largely who come in to give these demographic hiring reports. I went out in the field a couple of weeks ago and went into the South End to this 180-unit apartment complex being built right off of the Southeast Expressway in this ink block area, you know, right behind Whole Foods. It's a $52 million job, and it has fallen way short of the city's 40% minority workforce goal that we've been talking about. People of color have worked just 27% of the hours there. I spoke to one of the site's foremen, this guy named Johnny Bentley. He's Black. He says the lack of minorities in the higher echelons of these companies just trickles down.
If I'm in a foreman's meeting, and I've done thousands of meetings for anywhere from a Crenshaw to a Skanska to a Consigli to a Bond, I'm pretty much the only minority face that you see in there. The problem is when you don't have enough foremen that are minorities, who's hiring the people to look like them?
4 years ago, the city of Boston set these, higher goals, these more ambitious goals for diverse hiring on the construction sites. But since that policy change, the vast majority of these projects failed to hit targets for hiring people of color. This is based on 5 years of city data that were analyzed by Boston University's Spark Lab. Bentley, who's been an iron worker for 20 years around Boston, says the problem just isn't getting much better. And he really pointed to the stigma that goes with being, a Black man on a construction site around Boston.
It's not someone out there blatantly being a racist. Pretty much everybody thinks I'm a pretty nice guy, but because of my size and because I'm Black, they, he's trying to intimidate me or he's intimidated. There's a stigma that goes with that. And it didn't start yesterday. And it's not going to go away tomorrow.
So I hear Johnny, and I'm wondering if part of the issue is that people of color just haven't traditionally felt welcome in these white majority jobs.
Well, that's definitely a part of it. And when I spoke to Johnny Bentley, one of the things he pointed to was, look at the union leadership. It's mostly white people at those high levels. City officials and activists basically say the building trades in Boston just don't reflect the city's diversity, and they make it really hard for people of color to get these jobs, which are really good jobs. All of this happening in the middle of a big construction boom in the city. We talked to Selena Barrios-Milner. She heads up the mayor's equity and inclusion cabinet. She wants to see an increase in hiring minorities, women and city residents on these jobs, but basically is pretty candid about it and says the policy in the city just lacks teeth.
What we can enforce with the ordinance is compliance with the reporting measures, not numbers of employees and or percentage of workforce, because we can never prove, there was availability, right?
So you've spoken to contractors, and some of them do say that it's a supply problem. There just aren't enough people of color or women who are in trades. So I want to know what you think of that argument.
Well, we haven't gone specifically into the data to see, who's really out there. So we are kind of relying on this subjective opinion of, you know, contractors. And it's a big question. It's a valid question. You know, how can you expect to hire more people of color, more women, if they're actually not out there? So it kind of depends on you, on who you talk to. Some of the big contractors in the city say there just aren't enough of these people. You know, we spoke to John Cruz III. He's the CEO of Cruz Construction about this. And here's what he had to say.
To use that as an excuse is folly. It's actually deception and it's racism.
Cruz is the head of a third generation Black-owned business. He says it just takes more effort to hire minorities and women.
We deal mostly with architects of color. We have engineers of color. We have lawyers of color. It permeates through our whole system.
Earlier this month, the Boston Employment Commission that oversees the city policy, you know, highlighted the need for better training opportunities in the building trades. One of the commissioners talked about there should be training going on for young people, not just high school kids, but people, you know, in their early 20s. Some commissioners are also pushing for a tougher policy that can actually penalize contractors who simply time and again fail to hire workers of color and women.
So, Chris, let's talk about why this matters in the long term, because beyond diversifying an industry and reflecting the community, this is about giving more people access to very good jobs, traditionally well-paying jobs.
Yeah, exactly. And to get that perspective, again, when I was out on the streets in the South End and talking to people, I approached people on their breaks. You know, mostly these were Black men, you know, working these construction jobs, and they were all in unions, right? So one of the points they made to me was, this is a great job. This is a job that lets them buy homes around Boston. Obviously, it's really expensive to own a home or a condo around here. These jobs pay them well enough to own their own homes, to take care of their families. And one guy even said he's going to have a pension when he retires, which is kind of unheard of these days.
So there you go. That's a story just as much about economic mobility as it is diversifying a field. That's GBH investigative reporter Chris Burrell. Thank you so much for sharing the story.
Thanks, Yasmin.
Before I go, here's what else is up. 95% of Massachusetts state employees have either been vaccinated against COVID or have applied for a medical or religious exemption. Governor Charlie Baker's vaccine mandate for state workers is now in effect. Baker says for now, he's holding off on disciplinary action against those who have not been vaccinated.
Some of these folks may not have had access to some of the information that we've been sending out. Some folks may have been on leave. Some folks may have been living someplace else because of the issues associated with the pandemic. So I'm just going to, we'll work them through.
State workers who don't get the vaccine and don't get an exemption could eventually be fired. And that has the union that represents state troopers worried. The State Police Association of Massachusetts says 200 troopers have applied for medical or religious exemptions, but so far, none have been approved. Association President Michael Shervin says the union could take this to court.
We're always reviewing legal options and monitoring cases as they flow through the courts and the federal system, and we're open to any and all legal action if it should become a viable option for us.
The union had already tried to block Baker's vaccine mandate, but a judge sided with the governor. Meanwhile, a group of Beacon Hill lawmakers wants to use a racial equity scorecard to grade how the state spends its $4.8 billion in federal COVID aid. State Senator Adam Gomez of Springfield says the goal is to make sure legislators are accountable to communities of color as they distribute the funds.
This scorecard, I think, would help us understand if we did a really good job or if we failed. This is one in a lifetime money, and we can really do some really great things in Black and Brown, Asian and other BIPOC communities.
Lawmakers say they plan to spend at least some of the relief money by Thanksgiving. And finally, local educators went before the legislature yesterday testifying in favor of two bills meant to improve diversity among teachers. Amanda Fernandez is the head of Latinos for Education, and she points out that 8%, just 8% of the state's teachers are people of color. That's compared to 40% of students. Fernandez made the case for why it's important to have teachers of color in the classroom.
This matters because student test scores and student outcomes improve when they feel seen and represented by their educators.
The state's Department of Education says it wants to triple the number of teachers of color by 2026. That's it for today. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Yasmin Ammer. Paris Alston will be back behind the mic in a couple of weeks. See you again tomorrow. Hey there. A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR's Up First in the morning. But a lot of actual news happens in the middle of the day, and the team bringing you the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So, want more of the best news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.